Hey, welcome to Intentional Living Center today. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson and our team. We love you guys, and we're here to encourage you on your walk. We know life is tough and there's a lot of stresses. And this month we've been talking about anxiety. In fact, my teaching this month has been on how to rest an anxious mind, which got me thinking about perfectionism a while ago. And we had a lot of people want to talk about it. So we wanted to revisit that topic today and how perfectionism, as I have said, is kind of like a slow, anxious walk off of a very painful cliff. Because if you continue to wrestle with perfectionism and it overtakes you, it's fatiguing, it'll impact your career, it'll impact your life, it'll impact your health. And today we want you to experience a little bit of freedom from this stuff, okay? Because I wrestle with it, it's pervasive, and hopefully it'll be encouraging to you. So come on in. Phone line's open for your comments at 888-888-1717. I talked to Jody in Kansas some time ago who wrestles with perfectionism, and she's got an interesting take on how it's impacting her life. Take a listen to Jody.
You would see me comparing myself to other people and their achievements, and I would be comparing their child to my child. I've prayed about it, and I can be happy for other people's achievements. That's not my problem. My problem is just comparing myself to other people's achievements and my child's achievement especially. I have my son struggling really hard right now with school and graduating high school, and I just can't even bring up the subject of my child around other people that have children his age, because all of a sudden those negative thoughts come in there and I start comparing him to their child and what did I do wrong as a parent, and just different things like that.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you, Jody. When she shared that, when I talked to her some time ago, she's really, I think she's an example of what happens. Our thinking gets in the way. It's what happens right here in our head. And wouldn't it be nice if we could just kind of clean that baby out sometimes of all of the nonsense? We know intellectually that this stuff is not helpful. Trying to be perfectionist. We know we're not perfect. We're not going to measure up. There's always someone who's going to do it quicker and better and faster than we do. And when we set these standards and then we can't reach them, it's painful. And perfectionism, as I said, is not only like a slow walk off this, you know, anxious cliff ahead, but it also stunts our spiritual growth. And it becomes a spiritual problem for us. I believe that Satan loves to get Christians in our culture caught with this thing of perfectionism. Because so many people I talk to talk about how it delays them from getting things done, creates procrastination. They start living more of an unintentional life filled with anxiety. And if Satan can't get you one way, he'll get you another. And if he gets you in your head with your thinking, he's just as effective as if some other area of your life. All right, let's get Beth on in Arizona to join the discussion. Beth, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you so much, and thank you for all that you've been doing for everybody.
Thank you.
I found your show January 2014 when my ex walked out, and I've always kept you on the channel.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad you're listening to the station. Beth, how has this topic impacted you with perfectionism?
Well, I had a learning experience when I was 16, and I'm still learning to listen more to God, to let go of things. When I was in school, I always tried hard, and I tried so hard to the fact where I couldn't even write a sentence. And I'd have to keep writing it over and over. Drawing art, I would draw the horse head like 10 times. I'd have to erase it to make it so perfect.
Yeah.
My dad was in a top 10 accounting firm, and I don't know whether it was coming from him, like, where you see yourself in 5 years. But my mom said that I was always wanting to do better. So with all that struggle, I shut down. And I had to be pulled out of school. I wouldn't talk to any of my friends or my parents. They didn't know what was going on with me. They had a friend who was a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
I found out that I was a perfectionist because he said, here, draw a picture of a person. I'm like, what? How am I going to do that? So over the years, I've learned, like, I never want to go that far. It doesn't matter how the house looks. You know, I prioritize, mm-hmm. like, okay, I need to get my butt out. I need to get myself to my massage clients, to whatever I need to do. And, you know, if I do a little bit, fine, okay, and then leave and go. The world's not going to cave in.
Yeah.
God wants what is best for us. And so over this, the years of learning, I have learned, I had dog bites from Afghan Hound May 9th, 1979. And I always want to make sure, you know, because the Megavon was, when I was 9 years old, you know, cover my face before I even go to the gas station. And so that kind of helped me back.
Have you been in therapy for this, Beth?
No, because I believe in God, and God gets me through it. People, and for right now in my life, I met an amazing person who is a life coach out of New Jersey. He helps people all over the United States and the world.
So it's been helpful for you. Well, I think, Beth, a couple of things. The fact that you're getting some, you know, someone to coach you is a good thing. But I would say to those of us who are God followers, those of us who love the Lord, that we should never hesitate in our lives to say we need to get some help. There's times where it could be for perfectionism, it could be anxiety, it could be we broken our leg or we got cancer or whatever. Our whole being, from our head, our brain, our thinking, all the way to our feet, sometimes we need to reach out and get some help, because that's good that you're finding someone that you can get a coach to help you through your life and some of the, you know, decisions you're making. Because this area of perfectionism gets very close to also allowing us to become very obsessive sometimes. We can become very obsessive about, like you say, writing something and throwing it away and it's not perfect enough. I shared on a program a couple weeks ago about a woman that I can recall from a conference that I was teaching at many years ago about childhood memories. And her childhood memories were filled with a lot of disruption and concern for her parents, and she felt very responsible, and later so much so that she would just shut down because things weren't done perfectly. Like she said, if I made a pie and the pie wasn't perfect and the crust cracked in the wrong direction, she'd throw the pie away and start all over again, you know. And she knew intellectually, see, that this wasn't healthy, but it was something that she continued to do. And I think of the verse that comes to us in Ephesians where Paul says we need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. That's where it begins, right here. Okay, Beth, I'm glad you're listening. I'm glad you've been listening since, what'd you say, 2014, and we'll continue to be here for you every day. Thank you. Okay, quick break. Back with Melissa right here at Intentional Living.
Terry, just saw your status and thought I'd pass this on to you. Sounded like you could use a little encouragement today. Call me when you get a chance.
Encouraging others and living intentionally can be a real challenge. When you click like at our Facebook page, we hope you'll be encouraged to lead an intentional life every day. Share a kind word, comment on wall posts, and like Terry's friend, encourage one of your friends to become part of something great. Search for Intentional Living at Facebook. Click like and then pass the word on to someone you care about. Find Intentional Living on Facebook today.
Single moms are 40% more likely to experience this one thing. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. That one thing is depression. Depression is a serious problem in our nation, but single moms especially are under the stress of taking care of the family, providing for their family, making decisions all alone, and depression is a serious issue. Can I encourage you, if you're a single mom today, that you find some social connection, you get involved in a local church that preaches the Word of God, that you take time to take care of yourself, that you exercise, that you eat well, that you establish some goals, not only short-term goals of getting through the day with your children, but some goals for the future for yourself, things that you can look forward to, and then experience small victories in your life. You can do it, and God will strengthen you in the process intentionally.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
And thank you for doing that. Listen, you know, the Intentional Living Minute that you just heard is available every day on Facebook. It goes out around the world. So if you'd like to hear it again or share it with someone, you can go to facebook.com/intentionalliving. I hope you will, because a lot of great discussions going on there and helpful things every day that we just put out to help you with this message of intentional living. And if you like our page, a brand new video will come to your news feed every day, Monday through Friday. And we're seeing a growing response. A lot of people who just, like me, just need that shot in the arm every day. We post it early in the morning, so it's there for you. And every day it's a sort of a different topic just to encourage you to be intentional for that one day. So go to facebook.com/intentionalliving. This month, and only this month, only a few more days left in this month, we have a special gift that we want to send to you because maybe you've never been to one of our Intentional Living Parent Night Out conferences where we talk about parenting and intentional living. Well, I said, hey, guys, bring the cameras in. We recorded a video at one of my conferences and put it on DVD. We'd like to send it to you. As you share a gift, whatever God lays in your heart, your best gift this month, and you ask for it, we'll send it to you, the Parents Night Out DVD. It's, I don't know, hour and a half long, just some really practical things on parenting. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Perfectionism. You guys in there, any of you wrestle with perfectionism? Sally, Rob, a little bit. Perfectionism? You do, Sally? You wrestle with it? I think you're perfect. That help? No, it didn't help. Stephen? No, not so much. All right. And it is, I think this represents, we got Rob, yeah, sort of, and Sally, yeah, her hand's going up. I wonder if there's a gender difference. I think, do women wrestle with this more than men? That'd be interesting. I'm sure there's some stats on that. Yeah. So we got a nice balance going. Probably representative of our listeners today. Some not so much. Others, you might be saying, it's not me, but I'm married to one. Or I've got a child. Maybe you got a child who's a perfectionist. They get half things done, then they don't finish. And it is kind of a slow, anxious walk off a painful cliff. Okay, Melissa wants to join us here in Arizona. Hi, Melissa. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you so much.
Appreciate your call. Talk about perfectionism. Has it been an issue in your life?
Yeah, it kind of started, I think, probably around the age of like 12 or 13, and it showed up in a lot of areas of my life. But one that I wanted to mention to you today is I've noticed perfectionism in my friendships and relationships and not knowing how to be the real me, but trying to be like a perfect version of me for other people.
So you put on kind of a front that's not really you?
Yeah, like I only will allow them to see like the positive emotions and feelings, and I don't know how to be the version of myself that when I'm unsure and when I'm anxious or when I'm depressed, I don't know how to go to people and the awesome people in my life with that, you know?
What, were you able to be the real you when you were growing up, or were you the pleaser?
Maybe the pleaser. Like, and then it's just kind of gotten worse over the years.
Is it really impacting your life today?
Yeah, I mean, I think just overall, I'm not, like, going after my dreams. Like, I think, like, that childhood Melissa would want her to where I'm always second-guessing, and if I can't do it perfect, then I don't even try because I don't want that disappointment or that failure, you know? And then with relationships, just not really knowing how to get close to people because just for so long I haven't let them see, like, the regularness of just life and everything.
Now, are you married and have family?
I'm not. I'm in school. I'm 23 and still at home, actually.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is the good news here, Melissa, is you're mindful of the fact and aware of the fact at 23 that this is a characteristic that you have that you'd like to change. You'd like to work on this. And this is the time to do it. Many times we see people who are perfectionistic. We always ask, you know, do you procrastinate in other areas, or is it only primarily this kind of an image conscious thing that you have with friends?
I'd say I procrastinate a lot.
Yeah. You guys, you know, younger people in the millennials and younger people growing up today have, excuse me, a lot of pressure when it comes to the social connections and online type of connections. And you and I know, Melissa, that a lot of the stuff that you see online today is just phony. I mean, people always put their best foot forward, but that's not who they really are. My guess is a lot of millennials are not really being honest with who they are. They want everybody to see their perfection. Do you see that when you get online?
Yeah, I mean, I try my best to, like, be open with struggles, and that's kind of what I've been trying to remind myself, that we as people, like, we relate in our struggles. We don't relate in, like, our perfections, you know? And
yeah.
So, and that people, yeah, that I can't have, like, real conversations with people if I'm not being honest with, like, what I'm struggling with and dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I definitely know that with social media, you don't want to post, like, all of your baggage on there, but then at the same time, you don't want to just post, like, a superficial version that's not, yeah, I don't know.
Well, a couple things, Melissa. I think you might be the type of person, if you have one or two close friends, where you can just be honest with them. You just really cultivate that kind of relationship where you can be close, you can share who you are and what's going on in your life. That would be important for you. You sound to me like a responsible person. You really want to go for those dreams. And I'm always, whenever I hear someone saying it's keeping me from going after my dreams, that's where intentional living clicks in. Declare that intention. I don't know what your dream is. In fact, what is it? What is your dream, Melissa? What is the thing that you really feel God's placed in your life that you're holding back on?
Yeah, so I guess I don't really know what it looks like, but I feel like I really love to encourage people and love on people and just show them, like, how loving Jesus is. And so I'm not sure what that'll look like as a career.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, probably kind of the perfectionism gets in the way, but, like, just being there for people and helping people, I guess.
Well, see, that's, you know, God's wired you to be a people-focused person, not a thing-focused. And the good side, the good part of that is that's what life's about, people. The downside is when you focus on people, then you can become conscious of, am I being accepted and fitting in and so on. And so I would encourage you, here's what I encourage you to do, Melissa. I encourage you to get one or two really good friends, just develop, cultivate those relationships. And then secondly, if you really feel this is holding you back from pursuing some career that, or a direction in your life, this is a great time to find a godly Christian counselor, a woman, preferably, in my view at least, someone you could talk to and start to communicate with and help, let them help you process where this is coming from to help you build some courage. Remember, courage is something God's given us, not discouragement. God wants us to be with courage in our life and not discouraged. And so we're going to encourage you to really pursue whatever that dream is in your life and don't back off, okay? All right. Thank you for calling in, Melissa. Let me get Angel on from New Mexico. Thank you for your patience waiting there, Angel, from New Mexico. Go right ahead.
Hello, sir.
How are you?
I'm blessed. And you?
I'm doing well. I'm blessed as well. How about perfectionism in your life?
Well, it's more of a personal experience that I learned from before. Whenever I was younger, I remember that with church and all, I always wanted to be a musician, but I felt like I was never enough, you know? And I remember that out of the blue, my pastor asked me to play, but I actually said no. I said no, I didn't want to play because I felt like I wasn't sufficient for it. Like, I wasn't adequate for it. And for several months, he did persist asking, can you please do it? Can you please do it? And eventually I finally gave in, of course. But whenever I did start playing, there's times where if I was to make a mistake on that note or on the song, I would have an utter breakdown and just out of practice that same song hour after hour after hour and obsess over it. And it came to a point where, I mean, it was physically hurting me. My fingers would bleed, my fingers would be hurt, and I'd obsess over it, and I would start losing focus in what I needed to be focusing on in church.
Mm. How are you doing now?
Much better, because what my pastor explained to me about that, about perfectionism, is that as humans, we're incapable of doing things perfectly, but what makes us great is that we can learn from the mistakes that we have.
Yeah.
And that there's no need for perfectionism, because there's a reason why that us as vessels of the Lord, that we make mistakes. It's for us to grow and to become more excellent within Him.
You know, I agree with that, Angel. Some of the most when we look at music, at least this is my, because we're getting, when we talk about music, it's a very personal preference, right? But some of the most successful people, when we think of it in terms of visibility and so on, when you hear them perform, some of them, in my view, are not as talented as some of the people like yourself and others who we never will hear from, who are greatly gifted. And so it becomes sometimes the confidence that a person has. They're expressing what they believe they have inside themselves, and they want to share it with others. Because we all are going to have we're attracted in different ways to different things. And so the fact that you can take the talent God's given you to play the guitar, share your music, go for it, man. You know, if your pastor's saying come and perform, go and do it and give God the glory for it. And that's the key. All right. Thank you for your call, Angel. Appreciate it.
Not a problem. God bless you.
All right. Listen, you know, I think about radio. When I started radio many years ago, I think about this often. I'll tell my wife, Don, I think, you know, we're doing intentional living. People are calling in, you know, they want to talk. And it's nothing that I'm unusual. I don't have some unusual gift. This is kind of how God wired me to sit here and talk to you and think about life and think about what Scripture teaches and how does it apply to our life. And there are things that you do that I can never do. And you're doing things, whatever it is. It could be mechanical things. It could be musical things. You might be really gifted in the way you handle business or the kinds of things you're doing in your family that other people could never do. And I think what happens, here's what I think happens to us. Then I'm going to get to your call, Amy, in a moment. Here's what I think happens to us. We focus on our weaknesses instead of our strengths. God has given us, I believe, all of us a gift. We got areas where we're stronger and areas where we're weak. And it's easy for us to focus on the areas where we're weak, try to make them better, when we need to continue to do some of that. But what is it that God's given you that's a passion, purpose, and pursue it intentionally? All right, Amy, I'll be back. She's married to a perfectionist. We'll talk about that in just a moment.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
We're not to rejoice and celebrate my anxiety. I think many times as Christians, we confuse rejoicing in the Lord and rejoicing in the junk that's going on in our life. And it's easy to think, well, God, listen, I'm gonna rejoice in this pain. I don't want the pain. I'm gonna rejoice in the health challenge. I don't wanna rejoice in the cancer diagnosis. I don't rejoice in that. That's a problem. That's a result of sin. There's nothing good about that I see in my experience. But Paul says, rejoice in the Lord, which really comes back to the focus that we have, being able to rejoice in God no matter what we're facing at any particular moment. Not rejoicing in our worry, our fear, our problems, but rejoicing in the Lord, which is a daily commitment. Do you have an anxious mind? Do you find anxiety can overtake you? It could be just there as a kind of a low-grade fever. You feel it? Or is it pop up from time to time in situations? This month, the teaching for our members is called How to Rest an Anxious Mind. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. As I say in the teaching this month, I wish Paul would have said, instead of be anxious for nothing, like be anxious for less things. How do we do that? So members, watch for this. You probably have already received it for this month. And I say thank you in advance for your support. And so as you join, as people join us in support monthly and sign up to become a monthly member, you can decide, yes, send me the monthly CDs or not. It's your decision. But it's our gift to you. How to Rest an Anxious Mind is the teaching for this month. And if you're not a member, we'll send it to you. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com and join us in support, in monthly support, and we'll send this to you to say thank you. How to Rest an Anxious Mind. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on the donate button. The information is there for you. Or call us during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. Amy's in Arizona. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Hey, you married to a perfectionist?
Yeah, I believe I am.
All right. Well, what's your question today?
Well, I guess my question would be, sometimes it's hard to know when to, like, put on the brakes and say, you know, like, hold on a second without being disrespectful. Because we have read the book Love and Respect, and we have actually been to your conferences. I think for me, it's hard to know when to separate, you know, hey, you know, I'm not being disrespectful, but this is hurtful when you keep telling me to do this over and over again. I mean, he tells me to do things over and over again that he's told me numerous times before, and it just gets hurtful.
No, he's asking you to do things and they don't get done, or he doesn't think it's done well?
Exactly. They're not done the right way. Mm. So, you know, depending on if it's washing dishes, we're talking like little things.
Yeah. But so how do you handle it now? What do you say to him?
I just say, okay. But it's really hard. Like, I feel like if I do say something, then he thinks I'm being disrespectful. Yeah. And everything is about, every single thing, no matter what it is, how big or small, is always about disrespect.
Now, let me ask this. When it comes to perfectionism, does he wrestle with this in his own life? Does he procrastinate and things like that?
No way.
So his is getting it done, deadlines. He holds to a high standard for himself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he does for our children, too, and for me. And it's very, very hard.
Yeah.
And I guess there has to be a happy balance between, you know, feeling like I'm being browbeaten. I don't even know if that's the right term.
Yeah.
But it can be exhausting. I mean, sometimes I tell him to stop talking. Please, just stop talking. You know, well, and I know that's probably not a very nice thing to say.
Well, I think, Amy, I only have a minute, but I want to share something with you. I think what I encourage you to do is you not to speak to him from the standpoint of how, you know, mind to mind intellectually. You need to talk to him heart to heart, which maybe he doesn't get there as often. But to speak to his head from your heart, to say, honey, listen, I love you, but I want to tell you how I feel when you correct me on not doing the dishes right, or when the kids are not measuring up. It doesn't draw me closer to you. It puts distance, or whatever it is that you're experiencing. Because when we can have these standards and we need to hang on to these, but when we expect everybody around us to also measure up to those standards, we are setting expectations, right? Minus reality, it's always going to create disappointment. And I would say to all of us, if we're holding up standards for people that they're never going to measure up to, we're going to have a constant lack of intimacy in the relationship. Boy, I wish we had more time, Amy. We're out of time. But thank you all for joining us. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.